Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're recording now. And we're going to talk today about defending Islam against stereotypes. Okay, she's coming. Okay, let's discuss now the topic, which is whether Islam is spread by violence, by the sword, or whether Islam is spread by liberation. Okay. The first point we want to discuss, we want to tell you that Islam made the countries that he goes to.
Last week you sent out grades, right?
Said what?
You sent out grades?
Yes. Resend it, re-email it. If there's something missing, re-email it to me. Okay. So Islam did not spread by the sword. Islam did not spread by the sword. How is that? How we argue that the people who come and say, well, Islam is liberated by the sword, Islam is spread by violence. So how do we answer that? The first point we want to make is that Islam made the countries it goes to better. Islam makes the country that it goes to better than the condition, better than the Muslim homeland. You know that? Islam makes the country it goes to better than the homeland?
What?
Islam makes the country, the countries it goes to better than their homeland. So when Islam went to a country, it made it better. It didn't make it worse. Can you think of an example that we can see today to prove that? What would be an example? Go ahead. You.
Of Spain. Like,
Spain. Masha'Allah, masha'Allah, masha'Allah.
I went to Spain and there was this mosque that was turned into a church. And my dad was trying to pray there.
See, there is something here we need to know. That Islam went to, when it went to Spain, it made it much better than it was. And it was called Andalusia. Andalusia.
But what was it called?
Andalusia, which is Spain.
Spain.
Spain is... Andalusia. So, if a guy says, well, prove to me that Islam makes the countries it goes to better than it was, we say, go take a ticket and travel, see Spain. You will see a beautiful Muslim, you can see the beautiful buildings and the beautiful things that Muslims built. Do you know that life in Spain become so luxurious to the level that people have made trusts, unbelievable trusts. Like, for example, there is a trust said by a guy who gives milk bots to the children when they bring him a broken milk or a yogurt box. I'm sorry, yogurt bowl. What happens is that this is how they used to sell yogurt. They get the empty pots or bowls and they take it to the guy who sells yogurt. The guy fills it up with yogurt. They take it back home. Some of these kids, the bot or the bowl falls down in the ground and breaks. So they become very afraid of going home, that they would be punished. Okay? So there is this guy who made a trust so that kids don't run away from home. And the trust was, okay, you bring me the broken pot, I give you good ones. So you don't have to run away from home because you're too scared. Do you believe that it reached to this level of luxury in Spain when Muslims were ruling Spain? So that's the first point. The second point you want to bring to the attention of the person who says Islam spread by the violence, what is the largest Muslim country or the country with the most Muslim population? Indonesia. How do you pronounce it? Indonesia. Indonesia. We pronounce it Indonesia. Indonesia, بالعربي, in the Arabic. So Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Okay. Indonesia has how many Muslims living in it? 200 million Muslims. There is no country that has more Muslims than Indonesia. Guess how Islam came to Indonesia. This Islam came to Indonesia without any war.
Egypt.
Indonesia, Islam came to Indonesia without any war. You know that? No wars at all or any military interaction. Islam went to Indonesia by merchant, by trading. What happened is that the Muslim merchants, when they went into Indonesia, what they did is that they did business in a very good way that made the hearts of the people love Islam. So I'll give you the story. When Muslim merchants went there, they were so fair, and the prices, their profit margin was so small, and they are not taking advantage of people, and they pay a lot of charity. So the local merchants almost went out of business.
Wait, what was Indonesia before Islam?
Maybe Buddhist. I don't know. Maybe Buddhist.
I know, but what was their bad qualities? Were there any bad qualities?
Can I wash my hands? I'm coming to you.
Can I wash my hands?
Yeah, go ahead. So what happened is that the local merchant went complaining to the king. They told him, those foreign merchants are coming here and taking business away from us. They're going to drive us out of business. You need to expel them. You need to kick them out of the country. You need to take them out of the country. So now the emperor or the king, okay, called those Muslim merchants. And he said, what is your secret? How are you guys able to kick away? How are you guys able to take all this business from the local merchants and they are about to go out of business? So they say, nothing. We pay a charity. We take very little profit margins. And we are very honest when we sell something. We're very honest that we sell that thing and make sure people know if there's a problem or something like that. If it has a defect or something like that, we let the people know before we sell it to them. So then the king of Indonesia brought the local merchants and he told them, you wanna keep business? They said, yes. He said, do like them. Do like them. And this is how Islam came to Indonesia, through trading and merchants. And this is the largest Muslim country. What happens that Islam is entered the hearts of the people because Islam wowed the people. Islam made the countries better than they were. So people were so wowed and so impressed about what Islam has to bring that they became Muslims. So it's not by the sword, it's by that they get impressed about Islam and what Islam has to offer. The sword, can the sword open a heart? It's just like if I put sword in your neck and say, either you become a Muslim or I kill you. You say, I'm a Muslim, right? And then when that person leaves, then you are what? You go back to your old ways. You got that part? You say, I am a Muslim, and you go back to your old days after Islam. After the Muslim guy who's forcing you goes away. You got this part? So
that's why 9/11 is bad.
Right. Right. So Nick, oh yeah, that's good size, because the other one was not readable.
That's, yeah, I know. Okay.
That's good. Good size. So people were impressed about Islam. Now let me compare Islam to the other cultures or the other countries that entered. You know that the French people stayed 140 years in Algeria?
Yes, my mom's Algerian.
Yeah. Did they make Algeria better than Paris? No. But Muslims made the countries they go to, like Spain, better than Mecca and Medina. Better than their own homeland. Muslims make these countries better than their own homeland. Do you believe? Do you see the difference? We have United States, for example, when it went to Iraq, it did not make Iraq better. It made Iraq worse. Okay, so that's why people were not impressed about, you know, about the Christian culture, because it made Iraq worse. Algeria, 140 years. They did not make Algeria better than Paris. The British, they went and occupied Egypt for 80 years. So 80 years, Egypt was under the British occupation. Did they make Cairo better than London? No. So that's another example showing that the country that we go to, for example, George Bush, did he make Iraq or Afghanistan better than it was? He made it worse than Tijuana, not better than California. Now, if he would go there and make Iraq similar to California, I'm not saying better, just similar to California, the people will love him and invite him and open their hearts and say, come on, please, you know, liberate us from this, from whatever system we have right now. In the Persian Empire, the Persian had a caste system. They say the kings and leaders are created from the head of God, and soldiers are created from the arms, and technicians, they are created from the legs, and the slaves are created from the foot of God. This is called caste system. Okay? Huh? And India, too, had the same thing. So, when Islam came, did Islam continue having this caste system? No. Islam freed the people. And he made the people free from this caste system. Because if you're born in a caste, you can't change it. You can't change it. There's no change if you're born in a caste. Also, the non-Muslims, they say non-Muslims might be pressured into Islam. Or, do you know about the Inquisition? What do you know about the Inquisition? Exactly. It was, go ahead. Queen Isabella, that's right. She did, well, yeah, after they kicked the Muslims from Spain, they wanted to, huh? Yeah, they wanted to make sure that the Jews and the Muslims are all out. So what they did, they said, okay, everybody must become a Christian. If you have a different religion than Christian, we will torture you to death. We will torture you to death. So,
and maybe even not to death. They'll just keep you for as long as you live.
There were,
so you like die of sickness or infection.
Yeah, there are lots of punishing equipment and punishing tools that they have over there to punish the people who are caught practicing Muslim, Islam, or Judaism.
I saw a museum in Spain with...
all the torture devices they used on the Jews. Yeah.
It is something that you will turn your hair gray. And this is what will happen to the people. Hair gray. This is what happens to the people. If they catch you praying or fasting, if you catch you practicing Judaism or Islam, then you're tortured like that. Okay? So why is this happening? Because those people, when they are told to leave Spain, they didn't. Because all what they had to do, just leave Spain and go to back into Morocco or something like that.
What argument is this for?
What is it again?
The torture devices to the Muslims.
The Spanish Inquisition.
The Spanish Inquisition.
I know it's the Spanish Inquisition.
Queen Isabella.
Before that.
Oh, before Islam comes, it was a Christian country. It was Catholic.
No, but what does this example support?
Oh, it supports that Islam did not. Islam
That's
spread by
number
the sword.
One, we ruin countries, quote, quote.
Yeah. Islam spread by the sword. Islam spread by the sword. Here, continue. By the sword. Okay. And there is a very simple thing. If I put a sword on your neck and they say, become a Muslim. You say, I am a Muslim. Once I turn my back, you say, you do whatever you want to do, right? So can I force you out of your religion? No. No. What happened is that the Spanish people would say, Muslims and Jews leave. Some of them preferred to stay and pretended that they are Christians. So they got watched. They got spied on. And when they got spied on, they see if they're doing fasting Ramadan or...
I hear a lot of erasing. What happened?
Nothing.
Are you going to erase all of this just to write that?
No.
Okay, good.
If they catch...
Guys, ever.
You have to drink during the daytime of Ramadan. If you don't eat or drink, then they catch you. You can't pray or they catch you. They spy on you really... Like they ask the neighbors to spy on their neighbors. Okay?
What if you're just not hungry?
You would have to drink something. You have to drink something. If you're not hungry and then you break your fast at the Maghrib time, they will know and they will catch you. Yeah, they catch you. And once they get suspicious, they don't care. They just grab you and torture you to death. They don't care. And that's how they... converted Spain into a Christian country. Now, did Muslims do that?
No.
No, they didn't. Also, Spanish people, when they went to Latin America, you know why Mexican people and we call them Hispanic people who speak Spanish? You know why they speak Spanish from Spain? Okay. The indigenous people of Latin America, let's call them the Native Indians, for example. The native people, they had a religion. God knows what is it. Is it like the true...
It's... Hold up, learn this in Spanish class. It's Latinos.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what actually happened is that when Spain raided South America... What happened is that Spain was considered greater. So how we have racism here against the colored people, they have racism against who was from Europe. So the more European blood that you have, the more noble you were. And so this
wasn't it the lighter you were?
Well, the lighter you were, the more likely you were European. Does that make sense? Because I want to say Incan people, but that was only like central South
But
America.
do you know how did they convert people over there into Christianity and make them speak Spanish only? What they did labor camps. So they have two camps. One camp for the children to be raised by nuns, and the other camp is for the parents to work, labor camps, to work and produce, okay? So now, the parents and the kids are separated. The nuns taught the kids how to speak Spanish and taught them how to be Catholic, okay? And this is the nuns. On the other hand, the parents were put into labor camps and they will not get to see their children. So that's why it quickly happened that Spain became Christian country and the people, I'm sorry, Latin America became, or Mexico, did I say Spain before? Okay. That Latin America or Mexico and these countries became Catholic and they became speaking Spanish, Spanish-speaking people. So, in return, in exchange, if we compare this to Islam, we have something in Islam called Ahl al-Dhimma. Ahl al-Dhimma. What's Ahl al-Dhimma? Are the Christians and Jews and other religions living in the Muslim land. They have rules protecting them, and they have the right to have their own family courts, because family laws change from one religion to another. So they have the right to have their own family rules. They have the right to be protected. If a Muslim person did a mistake by killing a people of Ahl al-Dhimma, Christian guy, Ahl al-Dhimma means the people who are trusted, that people who are we supposed to take care of in the name of Allah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Allah and the Prophet are asking us to take care of them. To take care of them. So we're being trusted to treat them well. And the trust, if you don't do the trust, then you're betraying the trust if you don't treat them well. So if a Muslim kills a non-Muslim in the Muslim land, the Muslim gets killed. They have the same laws. The same laws apply to everybody, except family laws. Family laws, they have their own family laws. And to prove this to you, go to Egypt, for example. You find churches that are 1,000 years old, churches. 1,000 years old, 2,000 years old. You find those there. You find those in Spain. I'm sorry. In Cairo. In Egypt, okay, very old. Did Muslims convert them into mosques? Did Muslims demolish them?
No.
They are left there for the people of Ahl al-Dhimma, Muslims who are living in non-Muslims who are living in a Muslim land, to worship. Do you know that in Jerusalem there are still the church of nativity, that it's a church that has been there more than 2,000 years. Did Muslims demolish it? Did Muslims convert it into a Muslim masjid? No. Respect. You respect the beliefs of the people who live under Muslim rules. Okay? But at the same time, they also observe the hijab rule. They observe the hijab rule. And they do that because it is a shame. At that time, it was a shame not to observe hijab rule. It was a shame for a lady to walk without hijab. So they will do it because it is a shame. And because it's respect of the public space. The public space has to be protected and respected. Okay, so coming here, what's the difference between occupation and liberation? I've said that, I'm sorry. What's the difference between occupation and liberation? Any idea? When can we say if a country invaded another country? Okay, when do we say that this country, invaded country, was liberated or occupied? How can you tell if it's a liberation or occupation?
Wait, can we first start out with this? What does liberation mean? Anybody know? Yeah? Be set free. Accurate?
Basically, liberation means that your country is made better than it was. Got it? So if the country you're going into made it, if you make it better than it was, then this is called what?
Liberation.
So if we make, for example, Iraq better than California or even equal to California, then this is called liberation. But if you make the country worse, this is called occupation. So occupation and liberation. You got that part? Okay. There was a famous story in the Islamic history about the son of Amr ibn al-As. When Muslims liberated Egypt, and I'm saying liberated because Egypt became better after the Muslims went there, there was a Coptic guy. They were racing. Take short notes. Don't just copy letter by letter. Short notes. Church. And this one will be on the website.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I don't want you to be busy taking notes instead of listening. So just take short notes. All right? We'll take short notes. This will be online. Okay. So now, what is the occupation then? It's to make the country?
Worse
than it was. And this is how can you tell. So when Muslims liberated Egypt, there was a Coptic guy who went into a horse race with the son of Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As was the governor of Egypt at that time. So he's the son of the governor. And then the Coptic guy won the race. So the son of Amr ibn al-As was so arrogant and full of himself, full of ego, he hit the Coptic guy and he said, "How dare you? How dare you? Trying to become better than the son of the honorables." He called himself the son of honorables. "How dare you?" He hit him. "How dare you? How dare you? Trying to become better than the son of the honorables." So now the Coptic guy knew that Umar ibn al-Khattab is ruling Egypt. Okay? No, it's a race between a son of Amr ibn al-As and a Coptic guy.
Horses, right?
Horses, yes. So the Coptic guy traveled all the way from Egypt to Medina. And he talked to Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, "This is what happened." So Umar ibn al-Khattab accommodated him and hosted them in a very nice place. And then he sent a messenger to bring back Amr ibn al-As and his son. So the messenger came back with Amr ibn al-As and his son.
Liberation continued. I'm pulling out of because it was down there.
This will be written, so just take short notes. Just bullets. Okay? So
I feel like taking short notes too, but someday I don't have that luxury. Be happy. I don't see smiles.
So basically the Coptic guy traveled to Umar ibn al-Khattab and he complained to him. He said, "The son of Amr ibn al-As, he hit me," and he said, "How dare you become better than the son of the honorables?" So Umar ibn al-Khattab got so mad. He accommodated the guy, hosted the Coptic guy. Coptic means Christian, by the way. And then he brought Amr ibn al-As and his son. And then he brought them and then they came. He said, "What happened?" So the son of Amr ibn al-As said, "Yes, this is I did this and this and this." So he gave a stick to the Coptic guy and he said, "Hit the son of the honorable." So he hit him. He said, "More to the son of honorable." He hit him again. He said, "Keep giving more to the son of the honorable." He hit him so bad. He beat him up so bad. And the guy, the son of Amr ibn al-As, was cuffed. You know, he wasn't able to defend himself. And then he said to the Coptic guy, "Now it is Amr ibn al-As' turn, the governor's turn." So Amr ibn the Coptic guy said, "I will not hit a person who didn't hit me. I only take revenge from the one who hit me." He said, "But Amr ibn al-As, if it wasn't him, the governor, His son wouldn't do that. So he did that because of the powers of his father as a governor.
Who won?
Huh?
Who won?
The Coptic guy.
Yeah, that's
it. Got it? Got, you see how fairness Muslims brought to the new lands. You know that the Coptic Egyptians were mistreated and abused by the Roman Catholics? You know that? They have different beliefs. I don't want to confuse you, so I'm going to say it maybe some other time. Different beliefs. The Coptic Christians are different beliefs than the Roman Catholic Christians. So the Roman will do what? Will take the priests, the Coptic priest, and hang them from the ceiling and put candles under them. So the candles heats them, and when the candle heats them, they sweat. And then when the sweat falls onto the fire, it smells like barbecue. So basically they were barbecuing them by candles to quit their religion and become Roman Catholic. This is how Roman Catholic treated Coptic people. And look how Islam treated Coptic people. So that's why Coptic people were able to see clearly the difference. Islam made Cairo and Egypt much better than it was.
Who was the Khalifa, Omar or
Omar? Omar. Omar ibn al-Khattab. Now, the question of bin Laden, as a person who people say that bin Laden is a proof that Muslims are violent. Okay? Bin Laden is a proof. Why? So Muslims are violent because we share the same religion with bin Laden. The first thing you say when somebody says you're a terrorist because you share your same religion with bin Laden, you probably want to say, but you share the same religion with Hitler. Right? Isn't that right? So you share the same religion of Hitler. But do I hold you accountable to Hitler's mistakes? No. Okay? So that's the first thing to say, is that you share the same religion with Hitler. And this is why, and this is why we shouldn't talk about similarity of religion when we talk about 9/11.
In the back. Well, mainly he was like, go Germans! But he was atheist, right?
No, he was Christian.
He was Christian?
Yeah.
No. He's Christian.
Yeah. Now, this shares the religion. Now.
You can look it up. Like.
Now, the lady said that Muslims, one of the.
Wait, who was cuffed?
Both.
First, who was cuffed first?
Both Amr ibn al-As and his son. Oh. They were tied with ropes. Now, when I was speaking in the name of Masjid Fresno, when I was living in Fresno after 9/11, a journalist came to me and she said, well, people say that Muslims are violent because because of bin Laden. Bin Laden proves that Muslims are violent. Surprisingly, I said, bin Laden proves that Muslims are peaceful. So she said, bin Laden proves that Muslims are peaceful? How? I said, easy. If we say bin Laden and his group is like 10,000, how many Muslims do we have? 1.5 billion Muslims around the earth, around the globe. 1.5 billion Muslims. So if we have 1.5 billion Muslims, so 10,000 divided by 10 billion, you get 0.0001%. You got it? So this is, do the math. Do the math in your head. When you divide 10,000 by 1.5 billion, what do you get? 0.0001%, right?
Can I borrow the phone so I can get a picture?
This story this story isn't making sense to me, so can you look over it?
Yes.
Because I was...
Do you understand what I'm saying here? So she said, how can you prove that Muslims are peaceful from Bin Laden's story? I said, the terrorists...
Yeah. That happened last time because I was writing too small.
How do you spell terrorist? Can you write it down? Terrorist equal to 10,000 divided by 1.5.
I'm going to become in between these two meme lovers and...
Okay. So this is 1.5 billion. This is 1.5 billion. When you divide this number by this number, you get what? You get probably 0.0001% or something like that. That means that 99.999% is not like Bin Laden. Got it? So then Muslims are doing really great. If 99.99% is not like Bin Laden, or not in his gang, and only 0.001% with Bin Laden, then Muslims are doing really good. What? So in logic, in critical thinking, they call this the exception. So would the exception, can you use an exception to prove something? No. If you use an exception to prove something, then you are being deceptive. You don't use exceptions. Got it? So what is the exception? Bin Laden or mainstream Muslims? Bin Laden is the exception, right? So the exception proves that Muslims are peaceful. Because Bin Laden and his group, the violent ones, are less than or equal to 0.001% or something like that. You got that math? You got that math right? Who can say it again?
I vote on one of those two.
Okay. Huh?
So yeah, that's why.
Sabrina. Sabrina. Saliha and Sabrina.
No,
Saliha and Sabrina. Yeah. Okay, Saliha or Sabrina. Okay, can anybody? Go ahead. Mainstream. So this is the exception and this is the mainstream. So we say this is the exception.
Do you have another color? I'm going to use green. Wait.
This is the exception. And this is the exception and this is the mainstream. Okay. So every time they want to... what's your name?
Dina.
And cover your head. So, what is the one who uses exception? Go ahead. Okay. The final point.
Is this what you guys do in your free time? I mean, it looks pretty and everything.
I didn't do that.
Thank goodness. My arm still aches.
So basically, back into the subject here. Since Bin Laden and his group are the exception, not the rule, the exception. So the mainstream Muslims are good because Bin Laden and his group is like 0.001%. If you have a calculator, you can calculate it. I just approximated it. So that, got it? Now, the question is, who made Bin Laden and who made Saddam Hussein? Saddam Hussein, you know Saddam Hussein? The president of Iraq.
Yes.
The dictator of Iraq. And who made Bin Laden? Okay. Basically, the one who made Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden are the CIA. Yes. They made them for specific reasons. They made bin Laden to fight the Soviet Union. Because remember in Afghanistan war, he's fighting the Soviet Union. So Soviet Union is an enemy of the United States. So the CIA... Soviet Union.
Oh.
This is Russia and the other.
That's what you said, Soviet.
No, Soviet. Soviet Union.
There we go.
Soviet Union. Okay?
Everybody got it.
So United States funded bin Laden. United States, I'm sorry, it sold weapons to bin Laden. And when the Soviet Union collapsed, then bin Laden turns his guns to United States. And this is when you create a monster, the monster will come back and get you. You got that? When you create a monster, the monster will come back and get you.
And by getting you, it will be the tickle monster, little
munchkin.
Continue.
So once the...
Are you already on?
Huh? Then once I had to debate about this, so this journalist came and she said, okay, she said, I have a question about Saddam Hussein and bin Laden. And that was in the masjid. Yeah. She said, I want you to tell me, I have questions about Saddam Hussein and bin Laden. So I said, Saddam Hussein and bin Laden, you want to know about them? You go to the CIA. Those are CIA boys. You go to the CIA. Here you can come to ask me about the pillars of Islam, the pillars of faith, the pillars of worship. Okay, here in the masjid, that's all what you can ask me about. If you get into Saddam Hussein and bin Laden, those are CIA boys. Go to the CIA headquarters. You're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. Okay? So do you understand that answer? It's like we did not make them. The United States made Saddam Hussein to fight Iran. Okay? And it made bin Laden to fight the Soviet Union. Now, the bin Laden, after the fall and the collapse of the Soviet Union, you created a monster. Then the monster turns his gun to the United States and comes back into the United States. And then the Saddam Hussein, you created the monster Saddam Hussein to invade and to go into war with Iran. And then Saddam Hussein turns out to be a bad investment. A bad investment means like he turns out to be bad. He didn't do what the United States wanted or what the CIA wanted. So then this is when we create this mess. Then we went to get Saddam Hussein. Do you know Norwega?
Did you know what Saddam Hussein did? Did he explain it?
He did kill his people. He did kill the Iranian people. He did awful things. He did genocide.
He was the leader of Iraq, but he didn't exactly do a great job. Because he was a quote-unquote Muslim, but in the way of showing your arm...
No, not Saddam Hussein. Bin Laden is like that. But Saddam Hussein was a tyrant dictator. And he would kill a lot of people. He killed a lot of people, and he killed a lot of people from Iran and from Iraq and from Kurdistan. Okay, Kurdistan. Kurds. The Kurds between Iraq and Turkey. Okay, Kurdistan. From the Kurds from.
All this happened more or less 4 years ago, right?
No. Executing him was 6-7 years. But anyway, let me finish this so that we can go home. Do you know Noruega? Who knows Noruega?
Huh?
The Panama guy. The Panama president. He was put in place by the CIA as president of Panama. Okay, to rule, not by the CIA, I'm sorry, by the CIA. Norwega.
I'm so guessing.
And then he did exactly like Saddam Hussein. Not exactly, but he made the same mistake that he did not do what the CIA wanted him to do, and he started lobbying people against the United States. So the CIA went and arrested him and put him in jail for 20 years over here in the United States. And when he was done with those 20 years, she sent him to Paris because the French people had a sentence against him. So he spent the American sentence, and then he's going to Paris to spend the French sentence. Okay? So They created the monster, and then the monster comes back to hunt them. Okay. You guys are dismissed. Unless you have a question.
Any questions? So I just love keeping you guys after class.
You're, no, I'm not going to keep them for class.